You haven't heard about the McCrispy yet? Well then, you probably haven't heard the sweet silence after the first crispy bite either. Go try it for yourself to hear the best not sound you've ever heard.
Be the best and you gotta pay a little price. If you want it bad enough, you gotta do a little extra things to get it.
Welcome to the 11 Personnel Podcast, your favorite Rams podcast. I'm your host, Jordan Rodriguez, and with me, as always, my fabulous co-host, Rich Hammond. Rich?
How we doing?
Well, Jordan, let me start this way. We have a friend. I don't know if you know we have a friend, but Roger Lodge, who does the afternoon drive AM 8:30 in down in Orange County. So gracious to have me on almost every week, always plugs our podcast. And he asked me at the end of last week a two-pronged question. Do the Rams need to win this game against Carolina, and do they need to win it looking good? And I said, yes, they need to win it, but they can win it by any means necessary. And I think as I watched yesterday's game, that was the prevailing thought that I had running through my head. This is not pretty. This is not always great looking. But I think they're going to come out with the win here. And they did, 24-10. We got a lot to dissect here, Jordan. Two very different halves for the offense. We saw some life in the second half. We saw them moving the ball. We saw them score touchdowns. Even running touchdowns, Jordan. They ran the ball into
the end
zone.
They
ran the ball inside the 10. Darrell Henderson looked very good running the ball. We'll get to that. But Jordan, there's a lot going on here. And obviously, we're now into the bye week. The Rams are 3-3, still placed pretty well in that division, despite all the trouble that they've had. But Jordan, we're going to learn a lot in the next few days here. We're recording here on Monday morning. We're going to find out what's going on with Joe Noteboom. Very unfortunately, had to leave the game with what Sean McVay kind of hinted at might be an Achilles issue. We're probably going to find out more about Cam Akers and what that situation is in the coming days here. So we'll start with that caveat that there's going to be some news to come. But Jordan, why don't we jump into that? Because it's obviously been a big topic of discussion, and you have been all over it. And of course, as these things go, there are certain national reporters on Twitter who love to tweet things on Sunday that you had pretty much been reporting for days. So very confusing situation. And of course, in the absence of information, there's a lot of speculation. There's a lot of rumor, that sort of thing. And we don't like that, but we accept it as a reality. So where are we with that, Jordan? And what are we expecting to happen between now and when the Rams do get back on the field in 13 days?
With Cam Akers, I'm expecting him to be moved, whether it's by trade. They are actively looking at trade possibilities. I do know that per multiple sources in the building. And you kind of saw the writing on the wall there, you know, Friday when Sean McVay, I asked him directly point blank, you guys go back and watch that press conference, because I think it tells you everything you need to know about the situation. In that, when I asked Sean directly about whether he expected Cam Akers to be a part of the team moving forward, his response was, we're working through that right now. And that's Sean, for all his sort of squirreliness on some of the injury stuff and all of that, like, and when it comes to transactions, not a poker face to be found on that man.
Not at all.
So I think that this is a situation where you're kind of in a window where Cam Akers, first of all, I do want to say Cam Akers is a really good kid, and he's a really good football player. And I think that right now the Rams in general are going through some things, and he's maybe going through some things in terms of his particular sense on how he fits within the offense versus what the team's overall plan might be. And you've seen some of the things that have come out over the last several weeks. Rich and I talked a lot in the summer about how odd it was that the two backs had sort of what the team said was the same injury that they recovered from at the same time and on the same day. And then you know, further, you know, Sean McVay's comments about being frustrated that the running backs weren't in practices the entire offseason, which kind of is at odds with, if it were an injury, I don't know that a coach would sit there and come out and be frustrated. Like, you can't help being hurt if right. if you're hurt. And then also his comments about needing to see more urgency from Cam Akers. And that was really rare public comment for him. That was sort of the warning shots, in my opinion, because he almost never comes out publicly and sort of chastises a player like that. And yes, he follows up with, and I love Cam and I want to help him be successful. But then you see this run game, you know, continue to be inconsistent. And the caveat here, there's a lot of issues up front, but then you have Liam Cohen, who is coming out this last week and saying he needs to see more creativity from the backs, even when the blocking is there. And this isn't in a vacuum. This is also a bunch of people who are saying they need to scheme better, a bunch of people saying that the line needs to block better, they need to stay healthy, they need to communicate. But with all that being equal, that was the response. So you've kind of seen this thing simmering. I believe in Cam Akers. I think that he will, if and when he does move on from this team, I think he will maybe benefit, you know, from a fresh start, or maybe being thrown into a leadership role where he has to sort of grow and develop. And we've seen this happen a lot of times with players who, you know, it just sounds to me, I mean, when you're excused from practice for multiple days in a row and the team citing personal injuries and I'm asking if he's okay, and they're saying, yeah, he's okay, and he's physically well, then you sort of think they're trying to figure out what that change of scenery might look like. So I think that this is what we're looking at right now. This is a nuanced situation. I've seen a lot of just disappointing and disheartening stuff about this sort of on Twitter and even in the comment section of The Athletic, which is a renowned across the company, as we you know, other writers are jealous of how great our comment section is. And so I do want to say, you know, as we move forward, like, let's think about this with some nuance and about the people who are growing and changing and all of these things that are happening in a very tense, what has been a very, very tense and stressed out building over the last couple of weeks, and what that might feel like. And particularly, you know, as it pertains to those coaches who are in leadership positions, what that might feel like if you're a young player who's going through some growing pains. And there's a lot of nuance to this. It's not the only point, but it's one of the points. And I just want to say, too, you know, this thing is going to burst. I think we're in a window here where they're looking for a trade. If they can't find a trade, I can't see him remaining a part of the team just because of how the situation has escalated really since the middle of training camp. And I think, you know, it's, you're in a patience window with Sean in that you have to find a trade. If you can't find a trade, Sean McVay, we've seen this before, like with the DeSean Jackson, different situation, but we've seen it before. He's sort of taken matters into his own hands. Jared Goff situation, he took matters into his own hands and sort of forced the issue. So I think you're looking at that. You're in the middle of the Venn diagram right now where the team, you know, they're calling, they're looking and seeing what's possible. So I would expect a move to be made. And that would come with, Rich, a correlating move at some point too, because I do think this team will make a move for a running back.
Yeah, no, you segued into exactly what I was going to say, is that, it is unfortunate. And I understand, like, again, what I said, you know, in a vacuum of information, people want to fill it with their own thing. And that's not always the best thing to do. Let this play out. I understand people want answers. They want to know what's going on. Why is this happening? What's going to be the result? And I get it. I'm not saying you shouldn't have those questions. But the jump to certain conclusions or certain comments, like, it's just not helpful. It's not helpful for anybody. And it's not going to make the answers come out any faster. So it's not real beneficial, but I do understand it. There's a lot of passion and interest, but Jordan, this is going to come to some resolution, as you said, at some point, and it's most likely going to leave the Rams with what they had yesterday on Sunday against the Panthers, which is Daryl Henderson, which is Malcolm Brown, which is Ronnie Rivers getting into some action, which is potentially Kyren Williams coming back at some point after the bye, which would add an interesting wrinkle. But Jordan, there's been these little puffs of smoke coming up all over the place about what the Rams might do in advance of the trade deadline. And you might say, well, the trade deadline is November 1st. Why are we talking about this so early? But you made a great point to me, Jordan, right before we started recording here, is that the Rams are now in their bye week. And if you are going to incorporate somebody, and I'm not just talking about an offense, or excuse me, about a running back, it could be an offensive lineman too, knowing what their situation is like on the line. Now is the ideal time to start doing that, to start when they do get back on the field and start practicing again, to working those guys in. So I'm glad you made that point to me, Jordan. And let's just address the versatile elephant in the room, and that is Christian McCaffrey, because the name has come out, and for understandable reasons, given his talent, second of all, given the situation that they've got going on in Carolina there, which, oh boy, we could get into that. Oh boy, they got guys arguing on the sideline. They couldn't really throw a forward pass. It's not a great situation going on down there. So makes sense, Jordan, and obviously would be a very intriguing thing for the Rams. So that said, there's obviously a lot of talk, right? And talk is one thing, action is another. So what are you expecting here over the next, I don't know, few days, 2 weeks, whatever it may be, on that front? I mean, would you be surprised to see Christian McCaffrey moved at all? And B, how big of a player do you think the Rams could be in that?
Just as a very quick side note too, when you mentioned the forward pass thing, that was actually when I was talking to Bobby Wagner in the locker room post game. He said, I was asking him just about the containment plan for Christian, because smart teams, I've watched this for, 6 years now in person and then from afar, like teams, you're never going to fully limit Christian McCaffrey, but you can keep him out of the end zone from doing the most damage in that regard. And you can also sort of bottle him up on those screens and those catch and runs, yeah, and that type of thing. And that was really the Rams' plan, because as Bobby Wagner said, they really didn't think that they were going to be throwing any real passes, which is what defenders call forward passes, versus not real passes, which is what they call screens.
It's very passive aggressive, isn't it? Yeah.
So, and it wasn't like mean spirited, but it's just like, right, that's what defenders call forward passes, real passes versus screens, which are not real passes. They're like a arm of the running game if you're defending it. So I thought that was really funny, but and they did do a nice job of that other than that one big catch and run. But I think that was what you saw from the Rams defense. I mean, these guys were in single high for some of these third down passing, like known passing looks, and they cranked Jalen Ramsey down to the line of scrimmage out of single high. That's how much they didn't think that they were going to throw the ball downfield. So anyway, there's a good bit of film out on that play that Jalen made that I just thought was really interesting, that third and four, that tackle for loss. Fantastic. Anyway, I don't think it's a stretch to think that Christian McCaffrey could be a Los Angeles Ram by the middle of this season. And I know that sounds like a hot take, but there's some connection here in terms of he and Matthew Stafford have a friendship. He has ties, personal ties to the Los Angeles area. And in terms of the Rams' own needs, it aligns with his skill set in terms of getting another catch and run guy, a yards after catch guy, a guy who also can run the ball, but not just a traditional running back, a running back who, as we've seen with some of the concepts that they've run, especially in recent weeks, a guy who can go on the sweeps, a guy who can line up in that double backfield that they've been using with a receiver also alongside Matthew Stafford, and sort of carve out a little bit of those contours and layers into the defense like we've seen the Rams do, especially did very well yesterday against Carolina, and also someone who they can utilize in the passing game, and someone who I think when you're looking at the layers of this offense, you know, you've got Van Jefferson coming back and he's sort of a great top shelf, intermediate shelf layer. Cooper Kupp is a great intermediate and low shelf layer. Allen Robinson, as we've seen, and I'll get to later on in this podcast, is an intermediate and top shelf layer, and also a vertical layer in terms of jumping up in the air layer. And now we've seen, as I've been screaming about since May, that he can work into the underneath stuff. And that's very much what they were doing with him in training camp. And then you kind of think about where Christian would be in this offense, and you see him all over the place on the underneath stuff. You see him on some of those wheels that they used to run when he was matched with Cam Newton in Carolina. You see him on some of the misdirection stuff. You see him really working in when Sean McVay talks with such passion about wanting defenses to defend every horizontal blade of grass and also the vertical blades of grass on the field, inside and outside the hash marks. You definitely see Christian McCaffrey fitting in there. I would be curious to see, and I think it would be, he would be a really good player running in an outside zone system. That's something that I think he would be very good at, if not very gifted at. And then the Rams would obviously, I think, move him more toward the receiving game as he would get, you know, longer and longer in his tenure. So that's just what I think. I think that there's too much smoke here to not imagine that the Rams aren't interested, and they are always interested in upper tier players. And so that's why I think that this is something they'll be curious about. They're not really, I don't think historically, they haven't been really in terms of the trade deadline. The big splashes they've made have been player autonomous, or their trades in general, they've been a bit more player autonomous. You know, when they made the move for Jalen Ramsey, that was player autonomous. They were seeking a trade at that point. Matthew Stafford even coming in, you know, and then that's not pre-trade deadline, but just in his history of their acquisitions and that in via trade, that was player autonomous in terms of he had a huge say in where he wanted to go. And he also had a say in where he didn't want to go. Right. And I think if we get to the point where we're looking at a Christian McCaffrey voicing his opinion and voicing where he wants to be, which I don't know if that's the case now, but in the future, if he does decide to take on that autonomy, as you know, we've seen become more and more understood, I think, societally, when players do take on what I think is rightful empowerment in their decision-making process, then I think you might see the wheels begin to move, because the Rams are not going to offer a first round pick. It would be outrageous to offer a first round pick. And it's not like, oh, for a running back. Yes, he's a running back, and you don't want to offer a first round pick for a running back. Right. Even a guy as versatile as he is, because you're inheriting the contract, do not offer a first round pick. What you can do is you can package together picks, and you can work as a little bit of a sliding scale a la Von Miller. And that wasn't really a Von Miller empowered trade, but that was the season has collapsed and they need to build for the future kind of trade. So Christian McCaffrey is hitting that Venn diagram very, very perfectly for the Rams. And I definitely think that this is something to watch moving forward. And I don't think it is outside of the realm of possibility, strong possibility, for the Rams to be included in sort of this this trade conversation with him.
The last thing you want to hear when you need your auto insurance most is,
thank you for calling. Please listen to your list of 46 possible service options.
Which is why when you choose USAA auto insurance, you'll get great service that is easy and reliable. 24/7 online service for claims, access to roadside assistance, and more. All at the touch of a button. Start getting the service you deserve. Get a quote today. USAA. Ability to receive a quote depends on membership eligibility. Membership eligibility and product restrictions apply and are subject to change. USAA means United Services Automobile Association and its affiliates, San Antonio, Texas.
The holidays have arrived early with Blinds.com Spring Black Friday sale. Upgrading window coverings can be a minor project with a major impact. Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. Browse premium blinds, shades, shutters. We have your patio covered too. And get unlimited window treatments installed for one low cost. Free shipping and Blinds.com's 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com Spring Black Friday sale now. Save up to 45% plus premium doorbusters. Up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
You haven't heard about the McCrispy yet? Well then, you probably haven't heard the sweet silence after the first crispy bite either. Go try it for yourself to hear the best not sound you've ever heard.
Well, I don't think that's all they're going to do. But
enjoy your bye week, Jordan. That's all I have to say. You know,
I cleared my schedule.
I hope you weren't going to Hawaii or anything. So all that said, and you just made another great point that you're like, we're on the same page today. You're leading me right into what I wanted to say next. But so we'll obviously monitor that. If they make a move on the offensive line here, what do they do? Because like I hate speaking this way, Jordan, and you know this, like I hate speaking about Joe Noteboom as though he's some commodity that we're just discussing as a piece. He's a human being, and feel really bad if he ends up, you know, having a very serious injury here. But looking at it practically speaking, in Sunday's game, they move AJ Jackson to left tackle, and like I haven't watched the all 22, but I thought he did a pretty good job. And then they put Ode Abuche in at right guard, and you know there's a little learning curve there, I guess you could say. And he had some rough moments at the start, but so my question, Jordan, is if you're looking to upgrade that group now at you know as the deadline approaches. And let's assume, and I know this is a dangerous assumption, but just for the sake of the conversation, let's assume that we're not seeing Joe Noteboom for a while. What's the move there? Do you feel good about having AJ Jackson at left tackle and then you maybe look interior? Or do you like AJ Jackson at guard and you say, hey, let's go find a tackle who we can plug on the outside? There's a lot of versatility with these guys. So how do you think they address that?
The key factor here is that Alaric Jackson, which, by the way, he did confirm he prefers to be called Alaric. So we'll go with that moving forward.
Yes,
but Alaric can play guard and left tackle. They don't have many guys who can back up the left tackle if something would happen to Alaric at this point. So, but if anything happened to a guard, Alaric could always kick inside again. And he was actually playing incredibly well at guard. And I think if you guys want to go back and check those numbers yourself, I had a piece 2 weeks ago about their offensive line, and he's producing and playing in pass pro and the pass blocking the best of any of their linemen who were available, have been available over the last couple of weeks. And he's a really talented player. And I think that, you know, for all of the chatter about the Rams not investing in linemen or whatever, which is, I think, a bit short-sighted. It's fair in the sense that perhaps they've invested in the wrong starting O-linemen, but in terms of some of the reserves that they've had, who've had freak injuries, Alaric is, and Coleman Shelton, but we're talking about Alaric right now. He's probably one of the best young development guys that they've had in their building in quite some time. And so, and he's a UDFA. So I think when you're looking at him, his movement sort of predicates now what they do, because if you put him at left tackle, which I think would be a great move, but if something happens, and everything has happened this season, so now you're preparing for maybe a worst case scenario, then, and you have different guys at guard. If something happens to one of those guys at guard, you've got to kick Alaric back inside and you have nobody to play left tackle. So for me, I think that they're looking maybe at tackles, and there's not a lot of extra tackles sitting around out there. No. One of our colleagues, Rich Zach Berman, he retweeted some interesting stuff into my timeline, which is the only way that I even thought about this, because when you're in a tunnel, sometimes you're not really looking at transactions of other teams. But like a guy like Andre Dillard, who kind of got phased out of his own position because of injury, who just came off injured reserve, you know, that's the type of move, those sort of that knuckle that's sticking out kind of guy who, right, it's not a bad knuckle, it's not a bruised knuckle, but you know, but he's kind of now extraneous on the roster and you know, just kind of maybe sitting there. Right. So there's not a lot of those situations around the league, which is why I kind of turn my attention to something like that. But it's in correlation with, I think Alaric is their future at left tackle. I tweeted this last year. I had someone text me this last year where, hey, maybe we, you know, after he came in because of injury in that, I think it was the Minnesota game, maybe found the left tackle of the future. I agree with that. I think that he could be a long-term, very, very good player for them. And he already is a very good player for them. But if you keep him at left tackle, which I think he would thrive at, but if you keep him at left tackle and something happens, you now have nobody. So in my mind, the smart move is to maybe go out and see if you can find a good, serviceable, doesn't have to be all pro, serviceable left tackle. And then you have a contingent, not only do you now have Alaric, who can play the hell out of a right guard position, and then you're probably going to put Ode at left guard, or you put Ode at left guard and you put Alaric at right, or you put Alaric at left guard, you put Ode at right guard, which is more of his natural position. Like, maybe you're cooking now. You get Brian Allen back. Maybe you're cooking now, even in an emergency. And then if something, God forbid, happens to that left tackle, Then you have Alaric, who's available. And then you've now got some guys who are coming back and a little bit healthier on the interior. Coleman Shelton's coming back long term. So now you've got a contingency plan working. And so I think that that's kind of where my brain goes. If I'm putting myself in, God help me, I've done this to the point of, you know, maybe it's not like personally healthy, but if I'm putting myself in the minds of Les Snead and Kevin Demoff and Tony Pastores and Sean McVay, which again, right. You guys like say a little prayer for me, cause that's just too much. I can't, that's not, my brain does not, it can't survive in that state for long. No. But if I'm thinking that, that's exactly the sequencing I'm thinking about. That's exactly the type of move that I'm thinking about. And so I do think they'll move for running back, and that running back could be Christian McCaffrey. It could be someone else. You know, another team could really want McCaffrey and they could come swinging high with some, you know, overpay or something. I don't think on a player with his contract, his injury history, I don't think that the Rams would overpay for a Christian McCaffrey, which is why I say, some of this might be on him to pull, maybe start speaking up a little bit inside his own building. And right. That would perhaps drive any sort of a team friendly deal on the Rams side that would perhaps drive it down a little bit. If I'm him and I'm sort of playing this, you know, just hypotheticals, obviously. Right. But I think that's not the only thing they're going to do. And I think that they are in the process of evaluating where outside help could come from the offensive line. And that also doesn't mean, additionally, that does not mean that they're not also still wanting to evaluate their options at outside linebacker. They haven't had a ton of opportunities to pass rush. Teams are scheming the ball out quickly. Like I said, not real passes in the screen game. And they're doing things to mitigate the pass rush a little bit, and quite a lot in some cases. But still, I'm not confident in what I'm seeing, especially on the perimeter and that pass rush. So I think that that's obviously still on the table. So we're looking at maybe at a maximum, the possibility of three moves. All can be doable. Again, the way that the Rams manipulate and navigate these types of things. But then on the other side, you're looking at players who, you know, could potentially be on the table in terms of packaging together different trade scenarios for other teams to make these things viable options.
Yeah. And depending on how these things go, you know, again, circling back to Cam Akers, you know, if a trade does go down there, see what kind of assets come back in a trade like that and, you know, can be used to help facilitate some of these things that you're talking about.
There are also quite a few guys and largely, I would say, on the defensive side who are on the last year of their contracts. And there are a lot of young guys behind them who have had to, at times out of necessity, step up over the last couple of weeks. And that's something to watch, too.
There you go. Well, Jordan, I was going to say, if the Panthers had a bye week, you know, like maybe another Cabo meeting with Sean McVay and Christian McCaffrey. But alas, they don't have a bye week. So we don't get to repeat history.
No, Ernest Jones just had to go place him on the Rams sideline yesterday. That was their strategy. Yeah. That was the negotiation strategy.
Is that what it was?
Let's come have a conversation.
Yeah.
I'm going to carry you over to the Rams sideline and set you down over there. So you can have this conversation.
Just facilitate that process. Make it a little bit easier. Wow. Well, look, there's going to be a lot going on here. And by the way, we will have an episode next week. So who knows what's going to happen between now and then. But either way, we're going to have the ability to dissect this stuff a little bit more and see what happens. It's super, super interesting. The Rams, as we said, never boring. There's never a dull moment. And I can't wait to see what happens here in the next little while here. But Jordan, let's talk a little bit about this game, because we do spend a lot of time talking about losses. So, you know, we should, in all fairness, talk about when things do go well. It's a 24-10 game, a little bit of beauty in the eye of the beholder. I mean, it is, you know, deep into at halftime, they're losing. The Rams are losing. And deep into the third quarter, it's a 10-10 game that seemed pretty tenuous. Although to me, it seemed like the Rams never really lost control of the game. I mean, the Panthers touchdown that is allowed is a pick six. The defense, as you said early on, Jordan, just not giving up a whole lot at all. You know, Carolina has a lot going on, but the Rams did a very good job, as you said, of corralling Christian McCaffrey and not letting him, you know, turn a lot of 3-yard runs, a lot of 4-yard runs, but until that one splash play near the end, not the big kind of game changers or momentum changers. But to me, Jordan, the more interesting side, as you alluded to a little bit ago, was on offense for the Rams. And it started out with kind of like, oh boy, here we go again, just, you know, not able to move the ball. But you saw them, or at least I did early on, that, you know, trying some of these things. It seemed like they were laying the groundwork a little bit, and they weren't always hitting them, they weren't always getting the conversions that they needed and things like that. But it seemed like this very, very slow movement towards some offensive progress that you eventually saw bear some fruit in the third quarter. They did a lot of the things that we talked about last week that they should do, getting the ball out quickly, you know, using some more screens, using Allen Robinson the way that they did, Jordan, as you suggested that they might. I don't know how many guys had carries. I think I saw everybody four. Out there except like everybody.
Four receivers had carries. Yeah,
like that was everybody cool. But Gaston Green and Jerome Bettis were out there getting carries for the Rams yesterday. So, but the other thing is they stuck with it too. You know, it wasn't always pretty in the run game, but it was just enough to kind of provide that balance. I thought Darrell Henderson ran the ball very well. He looked like he was running with some attitude, with some purpose behind what he was doing. You know, breaking some tackles, getting those extra yards. A couple really, really big third down conversions on that one drive, and they were long third downs. What were they? They had a third, and this is the point where it's
the first touchdown.
Yeah, the first touchdown. Yeah. I mean, a third and 13 on a screen pass to Cooper Kupp, a third and 15 on a run play that, as they said on TV, I think they were just trying to get a closer field goal, and Darrell Henderson ends up picking up a first down there. Cooper Kupp's out there playing with a bad foot. He's still beating people. He's still making plays. Jordan, what did you think? I mean, to me, it was one of those, like, this is just, they just did what they had to do. It wasn't necessarily the prettiest thing. It wasn't necessarily, you know, any kind of highlight film that you would want to put out there. But they did simplify it, which is what we talked about, and they did what they needed to do to move the ball enough to score three touchdowns and win the game.
Yeah, and I'm looking for a commenter, I think a man named Chris Osborne, if I'm remembering correctly. I can't find the tweet now. I've had a lot of mentions over the last couple of days, as you can imagine. But it made me laugh out loud when I saw it. It was about the Henderson play. And if I get this incorrectly, or if I'm not shouting out the right person, please let me know. But I wanted to give a shout out for a good tweet that I saw, which was on the Henderson run. It was like the third and 15, and he got 16 yards. And someone said, after 6 years, the draw play on the third down finally works, just like they planned. And I just thought that was so good, because we've always called those sort of give up plays, right?
Oh,
with
yeah.
Darrell Henderson, I thought this was notable. If you're looking at the dynamics of what their running backs room is looking like right now, emotionally, I think that this was a little bit of a statement from Darrell Henderson. I'm not going down with the ship. Like, I will not go quietly. I will, you know, step up where I need to.
Yeah.
And it's not going to be me next, essentially, is what he's saying. And so that was a statement from him. And I thought that was a really impressive run, probably one of the most impressive runs I've seen from him in quite some time. And again, in super adverse situations, on a play that we usually call their surrender play or their white flag play, that we've seen them run a little too often, I think, over the past year, six games or so. And then certainly in 2020. And I think this is, I knew that this game was going to be different when I saw Matthew Stafford go to Allen Robinson on a first down pass on a quick in to get some of that quick underneath stuff going.
Yeah.
And then obviously, you know, they finished with that flying fade, and that just was really, really pretty play. And something, again, we've seen them doing through camp, and I'm telling you, and you guys could see this after this game, I was not BSing you when I'm telling you they're using him in a variety of different ways. Saw Allen Robinson go in motion, saw Allen Robinson working the sideline, working the middle of the field, getting some yak plays going, which he said felt really good because he knew it's something that he was capable of, but getting that first real contact and that full contact as a receiver, blocking downfield for Ben Skowronek, blocking two guys
On that touchdown run.
On that touchdown run for Ben Skowronek, who gets his first touchdown on a carry. I loved what this team did to manufacture a run game with all of their receivers. Rich, it is what we've been talking about. It's what I wrote about last week. It's what we talked about on the podcast, in that if you don't have a run game, but you have receivers who do a lot of different things very well and at a lot of different speeds and tempos, especially that core that they have right now in Cooper, Allen, Skowronek, and Brandon Powell. You're looking at guys who can do those things. Tutu Atwell took a sweep.
Hit the
highest speed of the game apparently on his one touch, and that was something where, you know, you're looking at accentuating what your players that you do have, you're doing that well, and I thought that was really, really commendable. The first touchdown drive, I thought it was a good drive in that they kept it alive, like through sheer force of will, it seemed like. It was kind of like in that regard, you could see it was like, this could go one way or the other after this drive. And it all depends on how they came out at halftime. After halftime, you know, after Allen Robinson's sideline catch, so they get 3 points off of that and a very questionable face mask at the end of that, or non-call at the end of that drive. But you get 3 points off of that after that sideline catch sort of invigorated the entire, it just seemed to me like all of this Paul, I don't even know what to say. Like, it skewered it. I'm like making a sword movement right now. Like it's on guard, like it's skewered.
It lanced it.
Yeah. And maybe I'm just doing my Game of Thrones rewatch or something, but it's like it just punctured it, right? That sort of thick pall that was just sort of settling back into to the stadium, because they'd got, you know, they opened the half by wasting a drive. They'd wasted the 2 minute.
They were getting booed.
Yeah, they were getting booed by their, and there were actually, I will say, I don't know if it, I wasn't in the stands, I'm in the press box.
Right.
People were saying on the broadcast, I guess, they were getting booed by their own fans. I will say, though, there were actually a really good number of Panthers fans that traveled, and that's because that fan base supports the hell out of Steve Wilks. And there was a pretty full section full of Panthers fans down in one where some of the road teams usually have their fans sit. There was a pretty good. So I can't say whether or not, but there were boos. I don't know who from, but there were boos. And then they come out and they waste their first opportunity with the ball back, and then their defense holds again. And it's, you know, it's Allen Robinson making that just insane sideline catch and the toe tap in, and you just felt that Paul, like it forced it out almost, and it just forced out that gloom, you know. And then they go down and they score, and then they after that they have the 3 points, and then after that on the next drive, you know, then they scored consecutive touchdowns, which again does so much, but they do it in a way where they're moving the ball horizontally, and as they get the run game going through not just the two or three different backs that they were using, but also through all the different types of receivers they were using and the layers and the contours that they were setting up, as they get the run game going in that regard, then they start moving the pocket. Then they start moving the play action. Then they start getting the explosives, a 20-yard catch, a 22-yard catch, Allen Robinson and Cooper Kupp. And then they start working the field in all kinds of variety of different ways. You see guys like Brandon Powell, who just inches from getting the ball in the end zone himself. You see some of the setup plays for a Ben Skowronek. You see the layers unfolding and manufacturing. You see guys making selfless plays for one another. And I think that's what this thing is supposed to look like. Yeah. It's not necessarily, you know, who they're accentuating and doing what you can with the guys you have and doing it in a way that you can there. And I asked Sean directly this week, and now I understand why he didn't answer the question, but I asked him directly, is there a way to get your receivers working with what they do best and also alleviate the stress off your offensive line? Mm-hmm. As it turns out, there are. And sure, that was a very leading question by me. I'll admit that. But also, this is exactly what they did. And I think there's this really great phrase that football people have used since like the dawn of time, and it's the genius of desperation. And there are so many things that this offense still needs to clean up. There are so many things that they need to repair heading into this bye week. But I'm telling you, that was real. That was real problem solving. It wasn't going to look like how they did it before with the 12 personnel. It was not going to look like how they did it before with the extra tackle sets. They don't have those guys, as we mentioned in the last podcast. What it did look like was accentuating the variety of things that their guys who are completely bought into doing those things, accentuating what they do. Brandon Powell is sitting there when Ben Skowronek gets the handoff. The other option, it could have on the play, there's an option for Brandon Powell to make that play and an option for Ben Skowronek to make that play. Mm-hmm. Ben Skowronek's number comes up on that play. He makes the touchdown, that gets the sweep on the touchdown through that side with the lead blocking by Allen Robinson. Brandon Powell is on the sideline. He's celebrating with Ben Skowronek, and then he's on the sideline telling Sean, the next one's coming to me. The next one's coming to me. I got next. I want that call. You know, this is a group who you can feel that when the energy shifts like that, when the mood shifts, and commend the defense for holding it down the entire time and holding it steady. And no, it was not a good offense, but they dominated in a way that was not just what we've seen sometimes this defense do in the past, which is play to the level of their opponent. We saw them dominate this group. They had 11 yards in the third quarter.
Yeah.
11 yards in the third quarter.
One first down.
They went through a series of seven drives where they didn't have a first down. So this is, it was not a good offense that they were playing. No.
Yeah.
But it was an offense that could move the ball. And they showed that in the first quarter with some of the McCaffrey stuff that they were doing. But this was not a good offense. No. And it's clearly an offense going through change. And there was, you know, Robbie Anderson, who, as we're talking, just got traded to the Cardinals. Like,
oh, wow.
All of these things, you know, are happening on the sideline. Like, but this defense didn't just show up and sort of stand there as like an object in the way. Like, they asserted themselves against this offense. They showed up and dominated. And I think, you know, when I get the comments about like, oh, well, you know, they've played bad teams or whatever. No, this offense has put this defense in terrible positions over and over and over again. So even if you're playing against a bad team, you're playing against a bad team with one arm tied behind your back. Yeah. So the way that this defense has showed up, and you finally saw, I almost tweeted this out, but I didn't want to be too snarky. Am I seeing complimentary football in all three phases? Right. I swear, Michael Hoyt's returning a kickoff for 22 yards. I'd say that's complimentary football in all three phases. So I think for me, that's something to build on. As I wrote in my column, which is up on theathletic.com, this will only be what the Rams make of it. Usually when the football side has done something problem solving in this way, the front office meets the moment pretty well, or vice versa. And so I think this progress will only be what this team makes of it. And that is the big storyline of this bye week. And that is what's going to happen over the next 2 weeks. This moment, the progress they made that they desperately so needed to make against a good defense, this progress will only be what they make of it moving forward.
Yeah, that's a great point, Jordan. And to the point about, you know, making additions and things like that, I think that's wise. I don't want to throw cold water at all on anything that happened on Sunday, because I think they did everything that they needed to do. And we talked about that last week. What do you need to do to win this game against the Carolina Panthers? And I think they did exactly what they needed to do to win that game. I don't, however, think that they've suddenly discovered some magic formula that will now carry them through the next 11 games that is repeatable on a week-to-week basis. Teams are going to make adjustments to that. I was actually surprised during this game, and I mean this is something of a compliment to Carolina, because I have a lot of respect for their coaching staff. I was a little surprised that the Rams got away with those fly sweeps as much as they did, especially in the second half.
I'll tell you why they did. Because Allen Robinson was making catches outside the hash marks on the sideline.
Yeah, to make so it. Yeah.
You saw the Panthers adjust. And when the Panthers adjusted to counter, they sent Allen Robinson in motion. That cleared Cooper Kupp out to the left side of the hash marks. So that's why. That's what it looks like when all those layers are working and you have another counter punch, as we always talk about.
Right. And they had enough of a run game to sell some of the play action stuff, as you mentioned before. I mean, that had been a problem, too. If you can't if you don't respect the run game, then you're not going to buy some of the play action stuff. So again, good stuff, all good stuff across the board. But I don't know, when you're sitting there looking at playing the 49ers in 2 weeks, that you can confidently say like, hey, well, yeah, we found it. You know, let's all go on vacation for 2 weeks. Everything is fine now. They did what they needed to do to get through that game, and they did it very well. But now it's going to be a different challenge coming out of that bye week. 3-3. Again, that division is lined up. It's shockingly, you know, across the board, pretty mediocre, at least in terms of results. The 49ers have a bad loss to Atlanta on Sunday. So everything's right there. I mean, the Rams win that game coming out of the bye, and they're in first place in the division after all of this that we've been talking about. So, Jordan, it's going to be very interesting to watch. Sometimes bye weeks can be boring. Sometimes you look at it and say, what's going on? What's going to happen? Not this one at all. And I know Jordan will be all over it. We're going to be talking about guys coming back from injuries. You mentioned Brian Allen, the potential, how that could change things. And of course, these transactions, Jordan, that may or may not happen. So I've been there. I know exactly how that feels. I know how tethered you're going to be to your phone over the next few days. So I wish you all the best of luck with that, Jordan.
But it's funny, they said, yeah, a couple of people were like, we say this all the time, it's a get to, it's not a have to. So I'm not, sure, saying this to be like, oh, woe is me at all. I love this job. I love what I do. It literally is why I wake up in the morning, that and the dog, and that I know I have some good cold brew in the fridge. And like, I think, you know, it's multiple people asked me yesterday, so now it's good, you know, that's been a, wow, what a start to the year. And you're probably burned out from last season. You'll probably get some rest this week, right? Mm. And I just stare at them. How do I even begin to explain?
Right. The only thing, and you're right, Jordan, you make a great point. It is a want to, but the only thing you don't want to have happen is have that alert go off at 5 a.m. that's like, hey, there's a deal going on, and that's not how you want to start the day. The cold brew isn't even ready yet. So
this is the time of year I actually, and I will shamelessly admit this, I've done this multiple times in the past, including especially after starting to cover this team. I'll have like very lucid dreams about like things that are like trades or press conferences or interviews or something. And I will email myself in my sleep. So it's like a balance, and there's been some funny stuff. I've saved all of them. There's been some really funny stuff. One day I'll share some of the emails of like, make sure to ask X this, or things like reminders. Cause in my daily work, I send emails to myself to remind myself to do things. Cause there's just a lot going on at all times. And I'll have these drafts in my email, which is like, make sure to ask X about this, or when X arrives on site, make sure to notice this, or little detail things. And I'll have emailed myself, not in my sleep, but I'm certainly not fully awake. And so it's a balance between keeping your phone by you so that you're around if people, because this job happens at all hours of the night. And as we remember, I mean, the Sony Michelle trade happens overnight. The Matthew Stafford trade happens like at, you know, 11:30 PM Eastern time. Yes. And I still never drank that bottle of wine, by the way. And it's like a balance between that and do you actually sleep? Do you do the healthy thing and not have your phone on your bedside table or whatever? So it's just not, but that's fine. Like I said, you find balance in other ways. That's all right.
Sure. Sure you do.
Sure.
Just keep telling yourself that, Jordan. Everything is fine.
This time of year, my mom will call me this time of year, and instead of saying, how are you? She'll say, are you healthy?
doing a wellness check on you just to make sure that you're that's great. We all need those people in our lives. So great stuff, Jordan. Check out the pile, folks, if you haven't already. I mean, we covered a lot of ground here in the last 45 minutes, but there's so much more good stuff in the pile. So it was good to see the pile come back this week. I missed it. So glad to see it return. And I don't know what's going to happen. over the next week or so, but I do know one thing, that Jordan will be on top of whatever it is, bringing you everything that you need to know. So make sure you follow along, first of all, on Twitter at Jordan Rodriguez, so you can get those tweets like, you know, 2 or 3 days before you get them elsewhere. That's always nice. And but
I love
more,
the snark, Rich. I love the snark.
Yeah, no,
I love
it's, it. By the way, I'm not targeting any one person in particular.
It makes me happy.
I don't want to make it sound like I'm going after one person. It's more of the culture of the thing. But then more importantly, you don't want to miss what's going to follow those tweets, which is some amazing analysis at The Athletic. And if you haven't already subscribed, if you have, by the way, thank you very much. And I mean that genuinely. No snark whatsoever. We really do appreciate you. But if you haven't, great opportunity right now. Get in on the bye week. You won't miss anything. Go to theathletic.com/11personnel right now. And you'll make Jordan happy by getting her favorite thing in the entire world, which is what?
A great discount. You guys, every single time you subscribe to The Athletic through the 11 Personnel podcast, you get my favorite thing in the world, which is a great discount. Guys, it is going to be an interesting next couple of weeks and then a very long backstretch that the Rams have to do everything in their power to be prepared for. I'll be on the ground. Rich and I will be covering in detail every single thing that happens between then and now and beyond. In the meantime, hope you guys are taking care of each other. Hope you're taking care of yourselves. Stay hydrated. Stay healthy. We'll catch you next time.
Hey, football fans, this is Diana Rossini from The Athletic. Get the top stories in pro football snapped directly to your inbox with our latest NFL newsletter, Scoop City. Jacob Robinson and I will bring you the daily scoop of top NFL articles, posts, and podcasts every Monday to Friday. Sign up for free now at theathletic.com/scoop.